So, dear friends, let us begin today's discussion with the usual chant. Vande Vamsi Dharam Krishna Smayamanam Mukhambujam Pita Radha Chitta Chakurendu Sandarya Sumahodadhin Paratparataram Devam Brahma Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Ritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Amba Tvam Anusandadhame Bhagavad Gita Bhavadveshvinim. Now, friends, we are in the last phase of the discussion of on Bhagavad Gita, the learning process of this great scripture going on for last 5 years in these classes, and some very important teachings are imparted here. Condensing many concepts spoken of during this whole discourse given by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. Arjuna, a spiritual aspirant, very much like us, and therefore full of many problems, many wrong ideas, and also therefore suffering because of that, full of conflicts, inner conflicts, that is very similar to how our life is. Arjuna's problem really began by expression of these tremendous inner conflicts that were tearing his personality apart. It is like somebody is pulling us very strongly in all different directions, and then what can happen to us? It is a terrible torture. So that is what happens when all conflicting aspirations, the aspirations of having worldly pleasures, also having the attachments that we already have there, pulling in different directions. Also, our spiritual beings craving for liberation. And all this, so many things are pulling us apart. So, Lord is being prayed for showing the way. And thus the discourse of Lord Krishna began, showing that yes, this is the goal and this is the path. Many doubts came in the minds of Arjuna. As a representative of all of us, we get many doubts. They got vent by the voice of Arjuna, and they were adequately answered. The conflicts were resolved, and now in a gist, the various paths are being again condensed and retold, as it is, you know, at the end of the sermon. Now let us recapitulate the important points. So it is like recapitulating the important points in a condensed way. For last some classes we saw how the path of Karma Yoga leads ultimately to perfection. We also saw in the last class how the path of knowledge, the discrimination and living the life of discernment, that your discernment shows you what is right and what is not right, what is real and what is just the appearance, and then learning to lead the life in the light of reality rather than in the delusion of appearance. That is all the spiritual practice or sadhana according to the path of knowledge, the Jnana Yoga, that your discernment shows you what is real, what is not real, what is permanent and what is impermanent, and thus you know what is a passing show, what is just an appearance, against what is permanent and real. So the life needs to be switched, glued to what is permanent and real, and thus we will reach the goal, the happiness, that ultimate happiness which is identical to the absolute existence and the absolute knowledge too. We become one with that. And we were seeking that, but then in seeking we come so close to it. The distance between I and what I was seeking, it disappeared. I became one with it. And that is how the process is described. Now there is no seeker and sought. And the difference is all gone. Some in Mundak Upanishad, that beautiful analogy is given, like the arrow being hit at the target. If you hit it right, I mean with full concentration, stretching the that cord of the bow properly, with proper force, proper concentration, then what happens? That arrow and the target, they become one. Sharavat tanmayo bhavet. The arrow hits the target. So, thus when we control our life, concentrate, remove the distractions that are pulling our attention in various directions. When that concentration, with that concentration the arrow is hit, then it meets the target, becomes one with the target. That is how the process of merging in Lord happens. Like the pure water, poured in pure water, becomes water. What else it will become? It is so also the divine here merges with divine there, and then the distinction of here and there, that is gone. So one becomes divine through this practice of knowledge as well, path of knowledge as well. The path of action, the path of knowledge, and now Lord says this is also identical with the path of devotion. The idea is that these three very important faculties which govern our life, they need not be at loggerheads. Our intellect, our emotions and our actions, they have to work in unison, they have to work in sync rather than pulling our personality in different directions. In fact, it will be pulling us apart, tearing us apart. So instead of that, they get resolved in this ultimate goal, that our intellect also needs to be given the direction of the goal. Our emotions also are to be turned in that direction, and which is called the yoga of devotion. When emotions are turned towards the ideal, it becomes bhakti or yoga of devotion. And the actions also are to be turned towards that, it becomes yoga of action. So now, in these verses, that Lord is telling how when you become attuned to that goal, you automatically get the highest devotion as well. And the 54th verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. Becoming Brahman and tranquil minded, he neither grieves nor desires. Alike to all beings, he attains supreme devotion to me, means to Lord, the reality of the whole universe. That is how you love also something that brings you the highest bliss, the highest love goes to that. So when you realize your true nature, and then the devotion goes to that, the madbhaktim labhate param, the highest devotion manifests in one's life through the attainment of this goal. But now it is told in gradually, the approach is very psychologically conducive to the right practice. It is shown that how the path of action and then path of knowledge both lead to the highest goal. Now this highest goal is first shown to be identical with highest devotion. That highest devotion is also the goal that one reaches through the path of knowledge and path of action. And thus that will inspire the query, but then how do I practice devotion? So that will be described later. See how nicely the teacher is teaching the student here, that teacher has to cultivate an interest in the mind of the student. If that interest is cultivated, then automatically there will be the desire to know more. So now it is told in this verse that thus ultimately a person realizes the truth, and then that stage, at that stage also gets the ultimate devotion. That person is how samasarveshu bhuteshu, that person is equal to everything. There is no distinction left that this is good and this is evil, this is something that is liked and that is disliked, this is something mine and something not mine. All these distinctions go away, and then spontaneous love to everything springs up. In Ishavasya Upanishad and many other great Vedanta texts, you will find this idea that this person now sees everything as the self. and thus cannot but love everything. We love ourselves. That is how then you love everything, because you see that everything is really you. It is the others that create problems. It is, but when you therefore do not see any other, now you do not hate anybody. It is when the things become other, then they become the objects of hatred or disgust, or you feel that it is all dirty. The spittle, as long as it is in the mouth, we think that it is I, it is our part. So we do not think that it is dirty. Spit it out, now it becomes other. And now, that is not right. It is, you don't like to lick it back, see. So it is, ours is all good, mine is all good. Now when you see that I as everything, now there is love for everyone spontaneously. That is why the saints love everybody. There is no hatred in the minds of the saints. Because of this transcendental perception of the sameness. So, now in the next verse, Lord says, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato jnatva vishate tadanantaram. By devotion, he knows me truly. Now it is shown how the path of devotion is leading to knowledge as well. By devotion he knows me truly, how much and what I am. Then having known to me truly, he forthwith enters into me. Sri Ramakrishna used to give a beautiful analogy that if you want to know. There was a very rich man there, living there, Yadumallik. So he said, how much wealth Yadumallik has, how many these housing property, the money in the bank, CDs and so forth. Then if you become friends with Yadu, if you become very close, intimate friends, then, because of the friendship, Yadu will tell you everything. You know, because of now the love and devotion developed, so you know everything about that person also. So, the knowledge comes because of the love, what God is. You know, because you are devoted to God, so you know how God is. Internally, you get that intuitive wisdom about God too, and vishate tadanantaram, and as soon as it is immediately without any break, this is like, you know, have the other name of having the highest wisdom or highest knowledge about God, that you just obliterate the distinction between the two, that is, that distinction is gone. You and that the God, that separation is gone. You merge with the Divine. So this is the result of this devotion. And how it is to be practiced? Now you begin the practice of this devotion. To gradually evolve yourself on this path of devotion. 56th verse. Sarva karmanyapi sada kurvano madhyapashrayah mat prasadad avapnoti shashvatam padamavyayam. Even performing all works, always taking refuge in me, he attains through my grace the eternal and immutable state. That through actions you connect to God. See, the love changes the nature of actions. The actions then become expressions of love. Like if you love somebody, say your little child, then your actions keep on revolving around that, my little baby, come on, let me take the baby for a walk, let me feed the baby, let me just to play with the baby. Now, because of love, the actions are all revolving around the baby. That is how you then get connected with the baby. You and baby, then because it is your baby, so you feel so close and connected, and the actions, they are all around the baby. So now if you start doing your actions around God, what will happen? Now the connection is used in the opposite way. When the two things, for example this microphone and this cord, and they are connected. So if you move one, the other can move, the other will get the impact of it. So the working around somebody and connection with that somebody, they are connected, those things are together. So if you start working around God, then you will start building the connectedness with God, the love for God that will get built up by this process. That is why many times we train our actions to build a loving connection. Say if you want to build a loving relation with neighbor, maybe you have come there just now, or the neighbor has recently moved in, you don't know, but you want to have a loving relation, so you take a little gift to the neighbor. Now it is an action, but what does it indicate? A connection gets, you know, started there, and thus gradually it develops into a very loving relation, a loving connection. That yes, oh my neighbor, they know me very well, I rely on them. When I go away, I tell them, hey, please look after this house, and they very gladly do it. The children, they play together as if their own house, both houses, like their own. So how does it happen? By that connecting the actions that will express the love. So gradually the love starts getting generated, building up. So this is the way we can start loving God too, by surrounding our actions around that this ideal that, okay, I will eat, but I will offer the food to God. That yes, God, this is food for you, and you please accept this. So God becomes kind of pleased, and that is called prasad. Means the God becoming pleased, and being pleased gives it back to us with the blessings. That is the meaning of prasad. So he says there that mat prasadat avapnoti shashvatam padam avyayam. And thus getting connected through love with God, through the grace of God, now whatever God has, you also get it because of that loving connection. That it is, it belongs to, say, your beloved, not to you directly as such, but because it belongs to your beloved, you say it is, well, I can use it, and we are all together. My car is under repair, but then I can use my husband's car, because after all we are one, you see. So because of that loving connection, my car is being used by my daughter or my son or my, because of the loving connection, whatever belongs to your beloved, you feel that sense that it belongs to you also. And thus, by doing the actions around the divine, then you form that divine connection with the divine. And thus, what is the characteristic of the divine there? It is the unchanging reality. Shashvatam padam avyayam. You reach the level, you reach the stage where one realizes the unchanging permanent. So the abode of permanence, where the winds of change do not affect at all. So you reach the permanent abode of yours, our real home. Our real home is reached. Other homes are kind of temporary homes. You were living the other day, Vishwanath was telling that he used to live earlier somewhere in Providence and then in Warwick, or and then moved later to Sharon. So these homes keep on changing, not permanently there. And even if you build a home of yours, still you are not always there. Look, Vishwanath may say my home is in Sharon, but he is right now not in Sharon, he is in Providence. So it is not, it is again actually speaking a temporary home, because you are not there all the time. So you may say that then my permanent home, is it my body? No, friends, you are not, that also is not our permanent home. For example, Richard may be physically here, body is here, mind may be hovering around his son or somewhere it is. So we don't know where the mind may not be, we are not always in the body either. So the body is also not our real home. What is our permanent home? We belong to God. Wherever we may be, God is our permanent home. We cannot go away from that home at all. And that is our true home, permanent home. That is why one name of God in Sanskrit is Param Dhama. Param Dhama means my permanent home. So, one reaches that permanent home, permanent address in many of the government documents that you have to fill in. They ask permanent address. Now permanent, the word there is only relatively permanent till I change that permanence. So it is a changing permanence. But this is a real permanent address. We live in God. So one realizes this truth that I belong to God. And this is, then all actions are then to be surrendered to God. And do all actions around God, surrender them to God by a mental exercise. What is meant by surrendering to God? Next verse describes that it is a mental exercise. Chetasa sarvakarmani mai sanyasya matparah buddhi yogam upashritya machitta satatam bhava. Resigning mentally all actions to me, regarding me as the supreme goal, and resorting to yoga through the intellect, ever fix your mind on me. So this is through a mental exercise, offer sarva karmani mai sanyasya, offer all the actions to me, that Lord, it is all done for you by your grace. It is the offering is what makes us free from the load of it. The mental offering, Lord, I offer whatever I have done, I have offered to you. This builds up a strong connection with God on one hand, and on another hand, it frees us from the unnecessary load of the effects of that action, what we say karma. Whatever the effects of the actions will be, we get freed from that. So it is a great tool for liberation. Moreover, the path of devotion, in this path you are connected to reality as such always. Not that you have to, the emphasis is not giving up or that continuous discrimination, real and unreal, that part is not so much involved. So for most kind of psychological these attitudes or positions, this becomes very convenient. This is the path of least resistance, because the mind does not revolt as much, and so the path of devotion is the most convenient, most easy for everyone to follow. So machitta satatam bhava. So considering the reality of the Lord, do your actions that will connect you more and more with Lord, and thus what happens? Now you have the support of the Divine, and God is with me, and God is always with me. One starts feeling the presence of God around as really being there, and thus what happens? All fear goes away. A child, when the child sees the parents are with him or her, then the fear goes away. When the child is not able to see them around, then feels scared that what will happen to me, so looks for where my parents are. So as soon as sees that my mom is here, runs to the mom. Doesn't think that anything is impossible for mom. Mom can do everything for me, can take care of me in every situation. So there is this confidence in the child. And so because of that confidence, there is no fear of anything. So when one places that confidence in that which is really all-powerful, God, in that God is around me, see how secure one will feel. The feeling of insecurity is a very big psychological problem, especially it starts coming up. It is strange, but that is how it appears. Many times I wonder that at a younger age people don't feel that insecure. But when they start getting advanced in age, the feeling of insecurity starts creeping in. It should be actually the reverse way, that the younger people should have that fear more, because they have a long expectations of life to live. So they should be more protective, and a feeling of insecurity should be more there. But strange, that they don't have it, or they have it in much less proportions compared to the people who are older. As the old age creeps in, one starts feeling insecure, what will happen, all my investments, will they work or not, will they be enough to, while I last, will that be enough to pay for me? And what will happen to my children? Will this money that is accumulated, will it be enough for me? all sorts of worries start getting, they start crowding in the head. Suppose in these days that are coming up, there will be water scarcity, there will be food scarcity. Now you keep on unnecessarily worrying about it. That is how the old age. Shankaracharya therefore says, Viddhastavat Chintamagnaha. Always keeps on worrying. What will happen to this and what will happen to that. But if you are connected with God, God will take care of everything. You become free from worries. It is a great advantage to be connected with God. There is somebody who is taking care of us. Holy Mother therefore used to say so beautifully, it is such a consoling statement that if anybody would come in distress, she said, well, child, remember you have a mother. Always remember you have this mother. And this is how you feel that sense of solace and consolation. Somebody is with you in this journey. You don't have to take all the load on your head. You can go on fearlessly. The worries are removed. See how much time and mental energy is spent in worrying, and the agony that comes because of that. And when you get connected with God, all that is gone. Yes, there is a mother that will take care of you, that will be with you. All your problems will be solved by her. It is like a baby knows that all my problems will be taken care of by mother, and while she is around me, I don't have a care in the world. So this person, because of the connection with God, my God, who is my father, who is my mother, who is my everything, is around me. So I don't have to fear at all. See, this whole attitude brings a sea of change in a person's total, in general, the appearance, the works, the joy that this person feels, and all that. It is the connection with God that brings it. And thus, next verse says that all the difficulties in spiritual life, we get plenty of difficulties in life, and it seems that if we take up spiritual life, the difficulties still are mounting. Many friends, devotees, they express this to me, that I have this problem, I am not able to concentrate, or I feel that sense of loneliness, or do not feel any inclination to spiritual practice. All these problems come up with. But this verse tells, Machitta sarvadurgani mat prasadat tarishyasi athachetvahamkaran nashroshyasi vinanshyasi. Fixing your mind on me, you will overcome all difficulties through my grace. All difficulties will be overcome, because the most powerful, most capable God is your companion. See, friends, this is a reality, that when we feel that, all difficulties get overcome. It is when you are connected with it, automatically you know, and that happens too, all difficulties get transcended. You do not have to then worry about them. Difficulties will come. The life is full of difficulties. Sarva Durgani. Durga means the difficult things in life, all problems. It is, they will come as a part of life. Like if you are on Angel Street and then you are walking up, it is an uphill task. Oh, it is, I have to walk up. It is difficult. I am losing breath. So in life we get all these difficulties. That is a part of evolutionary process, friends. That the difficulties will come there. As you are evolving, you are working against the gravity. So the difficulties will be there. But now you have the force to overcome them. God is there. Who is providing you all the necessary strength to overcome these difficulties. Friends, if I certainly have my experience to back this assertion of Lord that yes, that does happen. And I am sure all of you, if you look back, you will see that how the presence of God is with you. It is, just look around and God is always there taking care of us in various different forms that you might never have imagined that this kind of help will come your way. Many times we have complaints that look, I have helped this person in the times of his difficulty and now he does not keep any relation or friendship with me. In fact, he behaves as an enemy to me. What is this? I helped him in his difficult times. Then I tell, look, did you not get help from so many people in life whom you never knew? Whom probably you never met again. At least I remember so many places in which I might have been, just physically speaking, killed, gone or whatever. There were events when I could have been emotionally just devastated. But then the help came many times. Even without really consciously seeking, I thought that this person will be helping me here, but that person wasn't there to help. But from completely unknown quarter, the help descends and you cross over. So you have to see this, that God is with you all the time. So holding on to that consciously, with your knowledge and efforts, make you therefore free from all problems. All problems, by the grace of God, will get transcended. But if because of ego, if we refuse to accept it, then atha chetva mahankara nashrosyasi vinanshasi. If by because of ego, if you refuse to accept this or refuse to connect with God, well, you are just digging your grave, that's it. God is there to save you, but you don't want to take up that help because of the ego and think that it is not there. You know that nice story, a nice illustration that how we rely more on this fragile and passing world than on God. And that story is told. A man was walking, was not mindful and fell in a deep kind of a big valley. And then in that, somehow he held on to a rock and was there was still about 1,000 feet down there and about 1,000 feet up. Couldn't have gone up. There was nothing to hold on to. One rock, and never know that when that rock would come loose and he will fall. Somehow he was holding, and then he shouted, "Anybody, help, help, anybody!" And he heard a voice from the bottom and said, "I am God. Please give up your hold. I am ready to catch you. I am going to take you in my bountiful arms. Please just give up the hold. I am ready to hold you here." And this man hears this voice, ponders for a second, and then again screams, "Is anybody else there? Is anybody else there?" So that is how we are. That is there anybody else? Because we don't have faith, no connection with God. And so even if it is that help is around the corner, we just cringe away from that. "Hey, I can do it myself. Why? Or somebody else, my son will help me. My daughter will help me, my this will help me, my that will help me." So, athachetva hamkara, if our ego is ruling, then because of ego we refuse to accept the help. You know that story I had told a few times, that a person, because of ego, even though help is there, they don't want to take it. Like the man was driving. He was a minister, and a call came to, you know, to officiate a burial. So he said that, "I must go. Okay, after all it is my calling, and that God is calling me there." So he asked, "Where is it?" And they got a general sense of where it is, and knew that he can find out. The ego tells that, "Oh, I can find it out, you see. I don't need any directions." So he started going, and could have asked many people on the or that exactly where it is. Didn't ask, "Oh, I'll find out. Okay, the another lane, and then I'll find out." Went on here, there, and after all long this thing, reached the place about a hour and a half late, and then he saw that the cremation, not cremation, that burial has taken place already. The relatives of that dead have gone probably, but the workers were still there putting the soil back and all that. So he decided to do his service right. He called all of them and started reading the Bible right from the Genesis. He for about an hour he gave a big long sermon about the God and all that, and then after thinking that he has performed his duty very well, got into the car and waved goodbye. And then he heard one of the chief of that workers team said, "Never seen such a thing in my whole life. And just imagine, I am in this safety tank business for 20 years. So see where that fellow had actually reached, thought the burial ground. It was that safety tank was being done there and thought there. So by ego, you don't ask anybody. You think you know everything, and thus end up in a wrong place. So it is like that. So if you rely on the ego instead of relying on God, these two options are mutually exclusive things, because ego is that which prevents us from seeing God. So if you rely on ego, then you miss God. So if you want to listen to God, keep the ego away. We all know that, how ego keeps on hurting us again and again. But still, unless we give it a devotional term, it is not easy to overcome it. The ill effects of ego we all have experienced many times in life, and yet it is not easy to remove it. Some time back, a few months back, we had a nice retreat by Ishtananda on handling of the ego, how we should handle this ego. Beautiful ideas were presented. So the important thing is that this is the reason that we don't listen to God, the ego, and thus meet destruction. And says that after all, what your ego is going to do, it won't, you will never be successful in your resolve taken up because of the ego. That resolve will not work. It is something like this. Suppose I am in a train, and the train say from here it is going to New York, so southbound. Now, if I sitting on my seat, I started giving it a push in the northward direction, let it go to Boston. I am sitting in the train, it won't have any effect of it. Even if I am, say, Hercules, still sitting in the train, it will not have any impact at all. The train will be carrying me in the southbound direction all the same. So, Arjuna, who was telling Krishna he is not going to fight, based on the ego, that I will decide whether to fight, not to fight. Yadahankaramashritya nayotsya iti manyase mithyaisya vyavasayaste prakriti svam niyokshasi. A very beautiful verse, tremendous verse, friends. That how our actions, we are not in control of them. It is that indulging in self-conceit, you think, I will not fight. Vain is this resolve of yours. Your nature will compel you to fight. Your resolve, we make many resolves. What happens to them? Unless those resolves are connected to God's backing, if they are only resolves based on ego, they won't come to fruition. Our nature will compel us to do otherwise. So, Sri Krishna knows Arjuna's that nature, Arjuna's tendencies. And then sitting on them, whatever Arjuna may say, sitting on the train going to New York, I may say that the train must go to Boston, let me push it. It won't work. So, sitting on those tendencies, you may say, no, I will not fight. Your tendency will make you fight, dear. So there is no use saying this, that I will not fight. You will be made to fight, and therefore take recourse to God, and then God will guide you properly towards the ultimate goal of your life. So this is a great idea, that how we are bound. These verses, many of these ideas we had discussed earlier. Svabhava jena kaunteya nibaddha svena karmana kartum nechasi yan mohat karishyasya vashopitat. That 60th verse. O son of Kunti, what you out of delusion do not wish to do, you shall do in spite of yourself, fettered by your own duty born of your nature. You are bound by all that karma. Where can you go, dear? Your nature will make you do that. Svabhava jena kaunteya. That there are these tendencies, your karma is binding you. It will follow you. You cannot escape the net of your karma. That will be catching you wherever you go. You cannot escape your karma. And so, therefore, you will be forced to do. You will be pushed into that. Although you say no, you have no choice. You may say here, I will sit still. But you are on the earth that is moving all the time. How can you sit still? You have no choice there. So therefore, our tendencies built up through the so many past births, all the actions that are performed, they are driving us. Where will you go? As Vivekananda says that you cannot escape that, that you are the slave of your actions. Krita Das, that you are the slave of your actions. And where can you go? You have no choice. You will be there unless you take recourse to something beyond this nature. That is why it is important to hold on to God, who is outside the bounds of this law of karma. That is how even the yoga aphorisms, Patanjali does not accept the God in the sense of creator and so forth. Does not contradict that either, but doesn't want to discuss that. But he accepts God as someone who does not get touched by the effects of actions, is beyond the pale of karma, and therefore can provide you the support to take you out of this bondage. So that is why the idea of devotion to God is so efficacious. A very important thing, friends, that because of the ego we don't want to do it, but the efficacy of it is tremendous. By devotion, you will see how the path becomes so easy. So we shall continue the discussion that how it happens, how you are connecting to God, then makes you move in the right direction. That will be discussed in the next verse, that God who is so powerful, that God who is beyond this law of karma, that God is sitting in your heart, and therefore connecting to that will make everything different, means going in the right direction will become possible for you. We shall discuss that in the next class. Only two more classes are available, so before we have to take a summer break, and before which we think that we will be able to conclude this study of Bhagavad Gita. So we shall see how it is. All this also will happen by the grace of God, so we have to take recourse in God, so that if God wishes, that we will be able to complete that study. If He wishes not, then we will not be able to complete it. So, any questions? So, let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarayihi या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।